Here, we already have the, we could do puppets. Any puppets would be fun. Has there been a puppet ministry here in the past? We've never had the puppet. Okay, I know a lot of Methodists and Presbyterians love the Muppet ministry, but okay. We'll put that on the agenda for leadership team Wednesday to see if we want to do that. Just kidding. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. July 4th weekend, and whatever that means for you and the rhythms that you are in because of this holiday weekend, whether that is resting, playing, being with family, may you experience God's goodness and love in very tangible ways this weekend. We've been in a series called Seeking God Together. And thus far, we've looked at seeking God through prayer, okay? Through prayer, seeking God in and through the gift of our bodies. That was last week. In our third week here, we have a shift into this practice in what our series calls marveling, okay? This practice of marveling. So it's not marvel, but marveling. Next slide. There you go. Right, so this could be admiring, being awed, standing in amazement, even praising. There's worship, a practice of seeking God through glorifying Him. It's a very common practice for those who are in relationship with their Maker, and we see it throughout the sacred scriptures, this idea of marveling, taking a step back and just pondering God's majesty, God's splendor, His goodness. And in our text today, Psalm 104, from your left to your right, it's just filled with marveling. Marveling at the Creator of all things, right and beautiful. It is something that we're invited to do and to participate in because indeed all of creation, in fact, has the same invitation to marvel at His wonderful works. But to begin this morning, I just want to lead with this question. How involved is God in the world today? How involved is God in the world today? We know that God created this great, big, beautiful world, and not just this ball of dirt and water that we are spinning on an axis about 1,100 miles an hour, or being hurled through space at 67,000 miles per hour. But everything that has ever been. God has created this world. Though, is God perhaps maybe still in a seventh-day rest to observe, to watch, to chill? Or did God return to work on the eighth day? And if so, at what level did our Creator go back to work? Okay, what are your ideas on this theological question? What are your thoughts on this idea? How involved is God in the world today? For instance, did God have His hand in the recent Supreme Court decision regarding Roe v. Wade? That's on a national level, maybe on a personal level, when seeking to make a big change in perhaps maybe a career. How important would a decision like that play as part of God's will? For instance, maybe a high school graduate is just poring over the decision on where to attend school in the fall. How much does that decision alter what God desires for that person and the world? We can think of the civil rights movement. We can think of natural disasters, say like in 2006, Hurricane Katrina went through the city of New Orleans, known to be a city of sin. Was God trying to get New Orleans' attention through that? Some pastors and theologians said yes. On my way through Germantown Hills this morning, three traffic lights, and they were all green. Is that a praise Jesus? Was that God's will this morning? How involved is God at work in the world? How involved, right? So that's the question. Just how involved is God in the ongoing daily realities of the world? How involved is God in the ongoing daily realities of mine, of yours, and our church's life? And so we're just going to pause and find the microphone that I set down somewhere and invite you. Thank you. How involved? What say you? At what level? At the tiniest, every single blade of grass in its place? Or is it a larger kind of thing? Does anyone want to tackle this? Both. You said both, okay? Do you need the microphone for that or just both? Okay. You want to say more or not? Okay. Thanks, Don. Both. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Any other thoughts on this? Yeah. What does God ultimately want, and what does God ultimately allow to be? Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's a great thought. Thank you, Josh. Other thoughts on this? How involved? Because I have the answer in the sermon. So I'm just trying to get you into the boat so we can go somewhere. Joking. Completely joking. Yeah, how involved? How involved? Was he at work when I didn't have to stop on my way to church this morning in the traffic? I don't know. Like, I don't have the answer to that. I just don't. So is God, sometimes God can be seen as an absentee landlord. Is God someone who just observes his creation from afar? What is God up to in the here and now? Does God have his hand in elections? Does God have his hand in what happens in creation right now? So on and so forth. So now we have Psalm 104. We've heard it a couple times. And I'm not going to preach through the whole psalm verse by verse, but I will highlight a couple things. And the first thing I want to highlight is this. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," or "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It starts the psalm and it ends the psalm. What exactly does this mean to bless the Lord, O my soul? The word for soul is nephesh. Nephesh. Bless the Lord, my soul. What is that trying to get at? It's bless the Lord with my whole life. That which is deepest in me, a person's essence, a core, their being. This phrase is here in Psalm 104 at the beginning and at the end. That's twice. It's also found in Psalm 103, the psalm right before ours, and it's found there three times. Okay? So in five times in two psalms, Psalm 104 is about the creation, all of creation. Psalm 103 is about God's gracious work in individual people's lives. Taken together as a couplet, Psalm 103 and 104 together, it's the God of salvation in 103 and the God of creation in 104 are one and the same. The God of salvation and the God of creation are one and the same. So what's going on here with this repeated phrase five times, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? If you consult the Babylonian Talmud, which is a centerpiece for Jewish culture, serving as a guide for the daily life for Jews, it says the following: to whom did David refer in these five verses, beginning with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? He was alluding only to the Holy One, blessed be he, and to the soul. Just as the Holy One, blessed be he, fills the whole world, so the soul fills the body that is ours. Just as the Holy One, blessed be He, sees but is not seen, the soul sees but is not itself seen. Just as the Holy One, blessed be He, feeds the whole world, so the soul feeds the whole body. Just as He, the Holy One, blessed He, is pure, so the soul is pure. Just as the Holy One, blessed be He, abides in the innermost precincts, so the soul abides in the innermost precincts. Let that which has these five qualities come and praise Him who has also these five qualities. I love this. It brings a depth, a richness to this phrase, bless my soul. It's not just a throwaway till we get to the... It is filled with significance. It taps into, I think, the soul, our deepest recesses, who we are. I think the psalmist with this phrase taps into the heart of things. And it's a powerful phrase that bookends this Psalm 104 from verse 1 to verse 35. Psalm 104, in summary, it's a Pentecost text. So every year at Pentecost, with the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church, this psalm is part of the lectionary. And the entire psalm, it vacillates, goes between speaking about God and speaking to God. You could say it's part sermon, addressing God as He, 1 through 5, 10 through 19, in the last part, and it's part prayer, using the pronoun you. The tone, or you could say the tune, because it's a psalm, is very consistent in this idea of marveling, in this idea of worship. It's very consistent, except for that one odd verse, 35a, which we'll get to in just a minute. One thing is for sure, it seems to me, from Psalm 104, that God is not detached from creation. Rather, is intimately involved with and connected to this physical world, which includes you and includes me. And we can see throughout the psalm, there's a playfulness of spirit, along with divine care, as the psalmist describes the creatures and the features of this earth. You, God, are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps Himself in light. Just imagine that. He wraps Himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. You can almost picture a young girl putting on a dress, like a princess dress, wrapped in splendor, right? A princess gown that's just simply dazzling, right? Or who hasn't spent time building tents across your whole living room with the kids, right? Spreading out the heavens like a tent. He makes the clouds His chariot and wings and rides on the wings of the wind. Have you ever laid down outside on a nice, beautiful day, looked up at the clouds, and played the game, What Do You See? Anyone done this? Well, here's a couple things. Like, what do you see here? It's like, you know, cloud formations, right? Next. Okay. You could see lots of different things with this, right? Next one. Ooh, look out. This one looks angry. Okay. But God rides on the clouds. So next one. That's made up. I don't know if that's real, but I put a cowboy hat on God there. I don't know. You know, we could just play with it. But we are invited in the Psalm 104 today just to imagine God riding on the clouds. And maybe, again, just, you know, put a cowboy hat on God. I don't know. As God watches over the world. From the clouds to the sea, the ships go to and fro. And the... I can never pronounce this. Leviathan? Is that how you say it? Okay, so which you formed to frolic there, okay, in the sea. What exactly is this creature? Well, here's a picture. Seems a bit aggressive to me. And this is supposed to frolic in the sea? Like, what? Now, some translations have whales, okay? It's a whale, all right? Giant sea creatures. And have you ever seen a whale live swimming around, like on a cruise ship or something like this? What are they doing? They're frolicking. For what reason do they just jump up out of the water, do a, you know, a nice spin, and then return back into the water, right? I see frolicking here, right? So there's a phrase, have a whale of a time. Okay, all right. Maybe that's where this comes from. It appears from this psalm that God has infused playfulness right into the created order, along with ongoing divine care. Everything, as you look at the psalm in its entirety, everything is with purpose and everything with intention. And sometimes that intention is just pure joy. Pure joy. Sometimes when I think of God's creation and all that is going on with God's creation, I think of a waltz. There's intentionality with all of the movements. Everything is in rhythm. There's purpose, there's design. If the wild donkeys can find water, if the badger can find rocks to make a home, if the birds can take refuge in a tree, they are working together. All of creation is working together. Notice, too, that the purposeful nature of the day and night, which provides time for work and rest for both humans and animals together. It's as if they're waltzing. We are waltzing together. And we see in this psalm both creation and then what God creates, he also provides for. He also provides. A divine dance is taking place in the created order. And I think the psalmist this morning is saying, do you hear the music? Do you hear the music? It is the God of creation that creates, but also then again provides for all that he's created. There's a theological term, creatio continua, continuing act of creation. It holds that God didn't. It holds the truth that God didn't simply create, spin the world on its axis, toss it around the sun, and then walked away. It holds that God is still here. It holds that God is still at work. So, how involved is God in the world? Is every blade of grass carefully attended to? Is every detail of my life already figured out and set into place? And when something happens to throw the dance off, a tragic accident, a miscarriage, a natural disaster, war, severe drought, a cancer diagnosis, the list goes on. The waltz sometimes gets interrupted. We live in a fallen world. Just how involved is God in this world? I think God knows when and where that dance, that harmony has been interrupted, either by others or by us. And God continues then with a reminder of Psalm 104 to get back in step with the Holy Spirit's energizing force in the world. That's that Pentecost tie. He breathes, he gives the Holy Spirit to remind us that there's a rhythm in the created order that we're invited to participate in. God sees all that there is, and when that dance has been interrupted, God weeps. God weeps over that which is not according to plan, that which is out of step, that which is not in harmony. So the psalmist also sees the fallenness of the world and those who contribute to the way things are, and the psalmist expresses it in verse 35a. Okay, now, every Pentecost, when this is a lectionary text, they skip this verse. They don't go there, right? They just skip right over it. But it's included from verse 1 to the end. It's included, Psalm 35a, but may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. It feels like the whole psalm, right? This is a song, right? And if it's just like it's in a major key, right? It's like it's happy. And then verse 35b, and then it ends on a high note again, right? It just goes, it's like just a major key throughout. And then we've got this reality that we live in a fallen world. And the psalmist doesn't shy away from it. The psalmist names it. It's a bit difficult to sometimes even reconcile this majestic prayer, this hymn of praise, with verse 35. But it does name that not all is well in the world, and it's honest. And sinners and the wicked, well, who are they? Those are the folks who are acting against creation, a creation that God cares so deeply about. And we can see this verse as, we can see it as, well, just get rid of them. Just get the sinners out of here, right? We can see it like that. Or perhaps the psalmist has a hope for their repentance and rebirth. The wicked and the sinners are invited back into a rhythm and the cadence of a song of praise that's been going on since the whole thing began. Then all of creation, because it's verse 35b, and then it actually ends as it began, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise his holy name." It's like Genesis 1, Revelation 21. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So to bring our sermon time to a close, we see in verse 31, I just love this, right? It says, "Yahweh rejoices in his works. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." Okay? We often, as followers of Jesus, consider God as both creator and sustainer of all things. We tend to think of God as loving, forgiving. At other times, we may think of God as angry and punishing. But to reflect on the truth that God actually rejoices, to reflect on the truth that God actually rejoices and delights over God's creation, sometimes that's a foreign idea. We don't think about that much. But this morning with this psalm, this marveling psalm, we're invited to ponder that God is rejoicing and that he delights in his creation. And he delights and he rejoices in all of creation, which includes you. So we slow just at the end here to consider this idea this morning. God's ongoing care for the world and the world and for us is not like this task that God has to, I got to take care of Mark Newman today. Just this drudgery of like, or, you know, I've got to take care of David or Karen because, you know, it's, no. God delights. God rejoices in that. He's blessed by that, right? It's not a drudgery or a long like slog of work, but something that God actually and particularly enjoys, take caring of you. He enjoys it. He delights in it. Therefore, we're invited this morning to join God in our own care for creation, not as something to be endured, but something to be enjoyed, and to celebrate the abundance with which God fills God's works right? So creation and provision continue as the psalmist invites us to simply marvel and to join in the chorus of praise and thanksgiving to God. So how about you? We'll end with this question here. When you consider God, what is it that you marvel at? Let's just hold this for some moments. I think we'll just end there. Actually, it's not the end. It's just move. So we have Jane and some of our amazing students and the like coming to share a little bit about what they have been talking about downstairs. And then after this, we'll move into prayer time. So we have a microphone here for you. So there you go. All right, come on up. And you guys can, yeah, just up front there. There you go. Yep. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, so this morning we took our learning outside. So we spent the whole time outside, and each one of us took a string and we made an area to micro marvel in. So we spent our time just micro marveling at just that one little space inside our string. And so we wrote down our observations. So in my area, I observed a purple clover flower, the black ground, some clover leaves, and a few white rocks.
I saw rocks, bugs, grass, leaves, vines, leafcutter ants, dirt, roots, and clovers.
I found rocks, roots, paws, bugs.
I see grass in the plant. I see dirt under the plant. And the colors are green and tan. Also, I see sticks and rocks.
First of all, he made a little book out of his paper. It was pretty cool, and he has a couple pictures here.
I saw.
Oh my God, that's loud! I don't want to.
It's all right.
I saw a stick. I saw a plant.
So loud.
You're good. You want me to hold it?
Yeah. I saw a plants and a ladybug.
Nice. I saw a stick brown, leaves green, and an earth seed. This little tiny little seed, I don't know what it is. Maybe someone can help me identify it. So we had fun micro marveling out there today. So thank you very much. You guys can go sit down with your families. So I'll just stand here today. So this is our opportunity to share our where God has been present with us and where we need God's presence with us as well. And sometimes we do this, you know, in the macro, like some of these things we marvel about are macro things. But think about micro too. Where are those things in your life daily God's been present, or where are those things you really need him to be with you? So this is our time to share that as a church family. Steve has a microphone there, and just raise your hand and he'll come up to you. And as he's doing that, I'll share. I've been macro marveling about our cottonwood tree recently and actually got a little boastful about it. We have the biggest cottonwood tree in the whole wide world. Kevin back there, and Mel, I'm not sure where he's at. He's here someplace. We all claimed we had the biggest cottonwood tree in Woodford County. Turns out I do not have the largest cottonwood tree. Kevin's got a huge one. 22 feet in circumference. Am I right? Yeah, 22 feet. Around. It's huge. So we're grateful to for God's amazing cottonwood trees. Just don't get too boastful about it. Yeah. Anyone else? Well, let's just we'll gather those things unspoken even today, and let's just pray. And after I share a brief prayer, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. Lord, we are grateful to have gathered as your people in this place, in this particular time.